Notes Underground 78. Hello, everybody.
Good afternoon.
You guys ready for some rock and roll? I've got Dan.
Hi.
Dr. Spence.
Hello.
And Friar John.
John here. Boy.
That's me.
here we go. This one's from the Raconteurs' new album. Excellent, excellent music.
Show him.
That was rocking.
So, first of all, how do you spell Raconteurs?
R-A-C-O-N-T.
I think there's a silent K in the front.
Double Q E-U-R-S. Just like Minotaurs.
That's right. I'm with Spence.
Did anyone ever listen to Brendan Benson or the Green? What is it?
Greenhorns.
The Greenhorns before this band?
We were all frantically.
I love the White Stripes, but I didn't listen to
it. I don't think anyone knows the pedigree of any of the other members of the band, but they must have a good.
Well, Brendan Benson had a decent solo career, but the Greenhorns, I guess, where are they from? Indiana or something? They're like Ohio or something.
Dearborn County, Indiana.
Yeah.
Jeez, Mitch.
Good call, man.
Yeah.
Do you guys like it? It sounded like Wolf Mother, awesome. Kind of.
But better.
But more multidimensional, a little bit more artistic.
Yeah. Wolfmother is like a, I always thought sort of like a 2.5D version of Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath,
yeah.
Right.
Which is cool for a while, but then you realize you're not Black Sabbath.
They're missing half a dimension.
Yeah, they're missing just half a dimension.
Like their lead singer isn't eating a rat on stage.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so the Raconteurs are pretty cool. I gotta get to know the rest of the band though, because you know, if Jack White picked them, it must be for good reason.
Well, but here's the thing: is I think it actually is truly collaborative. Like, I don't think it was like
Jack White
trying to
pick
a band and like to take the White Stripes to the next level. I think he generally like joined a band rather than like.
And is
because he doesn't sing on every album either.
Because with the White Stripes, they have a very much a triangular sound, and he very specific about drums, one guitar, and vocals as being the three points of sound. With right. Raconteurs, you have a much more.
It's like a landscape
orchestral sound. So
do you think he's busy and confused most of the time?
Very possibly. I don't know.
I wonder if he actually tried out for the Raconteurs and he showed up in like his flared white bell bottoms and, you know, his full on stadium getup. And he's like, "Hi, my name's Jack White. I'm here for the tryout. Is this the right room?"
Yeah, that would be like one of those how the band got started documentaries that would actually be worth watching. Like usually it's like, well, I don't know. We were like stoned and we were like,
seemed like a good idea.
Let's play guitar.
It was summer in the attic.
Yeah. But like this, that would be, it's hard for like a superstar to just like join a new band, you know. I don't know. I guess the fact that this is their second album though shows that it's just a flash in the
power.
Pan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually like it better than White Stripes. Maybe.
That's a bold statement.
I mean, I like the White Stripes a lot, but I think John, like what you said, it's a little bit one dimensional. It's a little bit just sort of like the power chord trio, and this is a little bit more eclectic, a little bit more. It wanders around a little bit more.
I would imagine there's a little more stage presence too when you have more than just two people on a massive festival stage.
Yeah, yeah,
probably helps.
But. You know, if anyone could do it, Jack White, I mean, he's amazing. He can just like focus the energy. Yeah, he's amazing. Anyways, so that was my pick for the week. All right, who else is up?
Oh, geez.
Because we had a lot of comments and stuff this week. We had, thank you, everyone, actually. We made the comment that we don't get paid for this. This is just, we live for the comments. So we actually had.
We got like six comments.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Brilliant.
Let me just read a few here. Well, here's one. Martin always writes in, and it's great.
We love him for it.
And I tried to visit him in Stockholm, but he got scared. I can't read his whole thing, but he was just talking about the Foles a little bit and Vampire Weekend and, you know, wanting to get to know those bands. Vampire Weekend we got from another listener, actually. On one of the earlier shows, they said you got to check out Vampire Weekend. I can't remember who it was. So, and now they're just huge. I mean, within that band has gotten
it's like
so big,
Arctic
so
Monkeys
fast.
Style ascension.
Yeah, definitely. Not bad for a Brooklyn band.
From Columbia University, aren't they?
Are they?
I thought they formed at Columbia University.
Well, they might live in Brooklyn. I think they live in Williamsburg.
Well, Martin said that we should be listening to
Jonasy
Heliosequence
and Heliosequence,
which we've played. Cold War Kids, which
we were going to play,
we
but
may or
we,
may not have
but
played.
You squelched.
Oh, I said no.
Well, no. It's not so much you said no as that you said, yeah, they're really big. and I was like, okay, never mind.
Because
I'd never heard of them before, and I actually, Martin, you're right. I thought their sound was interesting. And then Mitch pointed out to me that they've toured all over the world several times. And I was like, oh.
Why you got to hate? If you really believe in it, you know, you should be able to make it past that.
I like the remit of trying to bring out something new.
Yeah,
if everyone's heard it, totally. Well, it kind of doesn't float my boat as much.
Well, I one other band that Martin did mention. So Heliosequence and Cold War Kids, I think most of our listeners probably do know about. But Jonasy.
Yeah,
Jonasy. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I like the pronunciation Jonasy.
J O H N O S S I.
I don't know why.
Jodeci.
Yeah,
back in the day.
That's it. I was like, this band. That name sounds just like some sort of '80s thing. What the hell is it? Thank you. I was so close.
Well, they've got a song called "Man Must Dance," and we're gonna check it out.
Where the people, the lucky with the fragile bones, that won't sit and worry about getting too old. Where the people, the happy with the broken hearts, the ones that draw a picture and proclaim that it's art. But you, and you, and you, and you, you're just an animal developed into. you, and you, and you, and you. A monkey needs to dance, so do you. Where the people lucky with the fragile bones, that won't sit and worry about catching a cold. Where the people happy with the broken hearts, the ones that draw a picture and proclaim that it's art. But you, 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 you're just an animal developing too. You, 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 a monkey needs to dance, so do you. You like to do it as a child, you're wrong. You're in the jungle and the monkey's taking mine from your home. How many times do they have to tell you that it's perfectly fine for you to dance around naked when you're all by yourself? Cause you, 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 you're just an animal developing too. You, 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 a monkey needs to dance, so do you. The lucky with the fragile bones, the ones sit and worry about getting too old. You're the monkey in the jungle trying to find your place, the one that let the sunset bring a silicone smile on your face. But you, and you, and you, you're just an animal developing too. You, and you, and you, and you, a monkey needs to dance, so do you. You like to do it as a child, you're wrong. You're in the jungle and the monkey's taking mine from your home. How many times do they have to tell you that it's perfectly fine for you to dance around naked when you're all by yourself? Cause you, and you, and you, and you, you're just an animal developing too. You, and you, and you, and you, a monkey needs to dance, so do you. Monkey needs to dance, so do you.
Cool.
That was beautiful. A good great song. Recommendation.
Way better than Joe Desi.
I want to hear the rest.
Yeah. Man, Sweden is the new Canada.
They're like touring in New York right now. They were. It's not showing on their MySpace page, but they're playing with some other band, some other big band. I can't remember what it was, but. Anyways,
I think there's going to be a big Stockholm Göteborgia rivalry that we're all going to learn about too. You know, it's like, are they
Göteborgia?
Göteborgia?
What's that?
Gothenburg. Yeah. You know, it's like Gothenburg is like the underdog. It's like the small town, and Stockholm is where all the, you know, the big fancy bands. It's the New York versus Dearborn, Indiana.
Sure,
classic rivalry.
Really, a lot of great bands though coming out of Stockholm. This, you know. Last 10 years, I'd say.
Well, the Refused being one of my favorites. Actually, I think they were out of Stockholm. Do you remember them?
The Refused? No.
They're a great hardcore band that absolutely blew my mind because they I don't know for a fact that they were trained jazz musicians, but they definitely broke into elements of their songs that were very much jazz influenced, and clearly they were knowledgeable enough to be able to play it in that way, which was an awesome crossover between hardcore punk and jazz. And the album they put together, what was it called? It was called, I can't remember the name, but the sun is shining too much outside and I'm too distracted. But The Shape of Punk to Come, it was called. But that album was such an amazing concept album where it's basically there was no break between songs and the whole album just flowed all the way through from one amazing track of like with huge amounts of energy to, you know, it was just incredibly dynamic and really, really, really terrific. And unfortunately, they broke up right after that album. Everyone was expecting so many great things to come from them, and nothing has really matched them on that level of musicianship and hardcore punk rock music. It was really, really wonderful. And they're sort of my first introduction to Sweden in general. And now we've got Martin, and this show has an awesome Swedish connection. We've heard so much great Swedish
music.
He's
totally dropping all the bombs.
Yeah. Well, they've... It's interesting for a country of 9 million people to have had so much influence on the world, even just by pop culture, you know? Like, there was some... Roxette.
Clearly. For example.
Friends bring up Roxette.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, John brought up to me earlier over Mango Salsa, the best mashup I've ever heard that totally beats the 50 Cent Nine Inch Nails mashup, which is the 50 Cent Roxette. Or, sorry, Nine Inch Nails Roxette mashup.
Wow.
Called... I want
no, no, Nine Inch Nails, Ace of Base.
Nine Inch Nails, oh, Ace of Base. Base. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Ace of Base. Ace of Base.
All that I want.
She, what she wants. It's called She Wants Animals.
She Wants Animals. It's really good.
Sweet, Ace of Base is also Swedish.
Yeah, they're Swedish.
Ace of Base? No, they're Swedish. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, thank God.
No, there's some amazing statistics.
And the Cardigans. Don't forget about the Cardigans.
Can't forget about the Cardigans.
The Cranberries?
They had a new album, didn't
they? I'd rather.
It's funny because we find a lot of great music in Canada and in Sweden. And I wonder how much that has to do with the fact that it's butt-ass cold and people are just trying to figure out what to do indoors.
Maybe.
Well...
Give me the evolutionary hypothesis.
No. I was having this conversation last night. Greece, right? Breadbasket of society, right?
Breadbasket.
Totally warm.
Talk to me, textbook.
Totally warm.
Yeah. How much great music is coming out of Costa Rica?
Nothing. Yeah exactly. But you know how much, you know, how much civilization came out of the Middle East? You know, you don't, you know, how is it that civilization can thrive in warm countries, but music can only thrive in cold countries? I don't know. Yeah.
No, I think Mitch might have hit it on the head. A lot of time indoors with a mic. Maybe.
Sure.
I don't know. And but they only have 9 million people. There's some amazing stat about Sweden, like the gross domestic, the GDP of Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
It goes like automobiles, Saab, Volvo. Number two, music, export. Like ABBA.
Really? Right.
Huh. They still like sell primary... bolos of ABBA record. Like, right. The economy
ABBA,
of Sweden
ABBA represents 40% of the GDP. Yeah.
Seriously, it's up there. Like the GDP of Sweden.
I think the last four or five shows, there's been a Swedish component, like a good at least 10 minutes devoted to Sweden. And that says something because this is a pretty, you know, huge podcast.
Yeah, no. Wow. Massive.
Well, here's to Sweden. Listens. Keep bringing the hits.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, let's see. What else have we got here? We've got Spence. You got some techno for us?
Oh, I didn't go
not techno.
I didn't go screaming techno.
Maybe house.
This is.
Oh, someone wants to know. By the way, one of our listeners was commenting on the show about the feel good factor.
Oh,
and where to find it online?
Hey, that's gonna be tough.
Or where to find it? Period.
I don't know. So if the name doesn't come up, I'm not sure you're going to be able to download it. It might have been something that...
What if you can get it?
Where did I get it?
Can you get it on iTunes? Can you get it on...
I don't think so. I think I bought the 12-inch. So what happens is a lot of those house records, they come out when Fatboy Slim releases it on vinyl, and then you can order it for a few months, and then it goes away.
Right.
Unless you put it on a compilation, it would just come
and go.
So
just look up Fatboy Slim then.
You could try that. Try it under that. Norman Cook.
Look up Norman Cook, Fatboy Slim, a.k.a.
Feel Good Factor.
Feel Good
Factor. The whole church should get drunk.
The whole church should get drunk.
Yeah.
You'll find what you want.
And possibly Spence will be selling his copy on eBay.
Oh, I'm not that broke yet. Come on.
What do we got this week, Spence?
And this is Tim Lovely from a similar phase when I was playing, like, when I was DJing, like, and I wanted stuff that was less housey and a little, like, funkier. And so this guy's English, and he had a couple albums. And he likes bongos.
Cool. He's English and he likes bongos. So, when are we going to take the funny pills?
We should have already.
We should have.
Because that was when they were supposed to kick in.
Oh, right, right.
Are you referring to my ooh days? You're trying to subtly bring up
I'm not pointing the finger.
Da-down, 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 down, no. The unicorns and dolphins.
Did you ever see that show? I think they had it on MySpace. Planet Unicorn?
No.
It's like this. Oh, my God. It's this, they had these little 10-minute, 5-minute, 10-minute segments on... I don't know. You just reminded me of that.
Yeah. I love that.
It's a planet full of unicorns. Like super camp. Yeah.
There are so many brilliant web-only shows that are coming on these days.
Yeah, what's like a good way to find that? Find out about those shows, really?
It's this website called MySpace. You heard of it?
MySpace.com.
Spend a lot of time on your computer.
But I don't know how you heard these things. There's like they're a dime a dozen, really. But some of them are absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And you don't care that they're only like 320 by 240 little tiny pictures. They're just well
goofy.
Worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, if one thing YouTube has shown, it's like it's not the quality. Like, I remember when that broadband was coming on board and everyone was like, gosh, like if you can't stream, you know, TV quality, TV rate, no one's going to watch. But it turned out no one cares about the quality as long as the content's interesting and they can choose it.
Yeah. Well, it's completely analogous to the MP3 thing, though, isn't it? And eventually there'll be a backlash. Everyone's going to get tired. 320 by 240 download.
But I was thinking about something. I was thinking about something the other day. Actually, I was thinking about it this morning. That because I've recently switched from an iPod to a Zune.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice. Good.
Hey. Which I know that no one's ever going to do. Like, it's not, it's just not going to capture that. For whatever reason, you know, the iPod is that iconic, amazing, beautifully designed
the design
thing. But I think that the whole icon obsession is having an impact on people's ability or, more importantly, willingness to discover new music. Because a lot of the people that I talk to are like, well, you know, I just have my... You know, I've got all my favorite bands in my library. You know, I don't need to waste time loading new bands into my library and then losing them forever and then having them show up in some, you know, shuttle, the super, you know, the whatever, the shuttle search, and then not knowing who it is or why or caring. You know, every time I drop a new band in there, I just forget about it because it gets lost.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, right? Is that, like, iTunes doesn't do a good job of showing you the most recent releases or the most recent added things, or, you know, it's hard to sort of, especially on the iPod, it's hard to figure out like what you're testing versus like what you're is in my library.
Well, but I always had assumed that was because of the cost. I mean, the reason iTunes doesn't have a lot of that big crazy stuff is because it would cost a lot to sell it on iTunes, isn't it? Or do they have the big mainstream big releases?
No, they do.
Okay.
But
they don't have new underground stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That, and they don't let you... But cataloging and managing your library has always been a bastard.
Right, that's
on iTunes
thing.
And iPhoto and all these...
I actually kind of hate managing the library.
Oh, it's misery. Absolute misery. There's some crazy mysterious things that happen with libraries on iTunes where songs just go missing. And all of a sudden your library starts to dwindle and you don't know why.
It's like there's rot. Like your database is rotting.
Yeah, rotting. It
yeah.
is. Exactly.
Which is one of the reasons I like about Zune is the whole thing is at $15 a month and it's unlimited, all you can eat. And whatever you can think of, you can find. And it's just there, you know. I mean, not everything is there, but...
Yeah,
like 95% of the things you are interested in are there. So
that's cool.
And then is it different? Like the file is yours to own. You can put it on your player and do whatever you want with
it. No, you can't. You can put it on your player. You don't own it, but as long as you keep paying, you can always listen to it.
Yeah.
Which is like, so it's like, it's almost like a utility. Like if I'm like with always spending $15 a month, which I have done for the last year, then I can listen to as much as I want. And like if I really like it, then I'll just go and buy the physical CD and like get the high quality MP3 out of it or, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
Because the MP3s you buy from iTunes aren't even that good in the first place.
Oh, really?
They're M4As. Like, they're okay, but they're not like...
Mm-hmm.
You listen to them on a good stereo and you kind of lose the quality. Anyways. I digress, but I was just thinking like how iTunes and the iPod are sort of anti-discovery. They're great for someone who loves their catalog, but they're not great for someone who just wants to see what they've heard about 10 new bands. They want to try them all out because it just gets lost in the sea of whatever. Well, you know?
There's been so much awesome technology built up around searching the internet because the internet, of course, is a vast array of different kinds of information and all of that, and ways of cataloging, categorizing, and curating it all. But no one's really doing that about your home media server, because our home media servers are getting so diverse with the massive music libraries and massive picture libraries, and being able to like categorize it, catalog it, and keep it easily searchable and appropriate is huge. And I think that that's something
fundamental limit there, because it's not actually, I mean, the technology can help, but it actually takes thought and work.
Yeah.
What I mean is that, you know, if you're going to put these things in some kind of system, I mean, there's one thing if it doesn't work, if it deletes them or loses them.
Yeah.
But it's another thing, you have to spend the time to think, is the raconteur similar to Tim Love Lee?
Yeah.
You know, no. Should they be in one big subfolder of indie? Or should they be, you know, there is time, you need to invest time to decide what folders to put them in.
But that whole thing is like, I remember I used to work at, you know, back in high school or whatever, I worked at the Warehouse Music.
No way,
you
know that really?
Record store?
The one right next to Chili's?
Yeah. That is so old school.
I don't think it exists anymore.
Great pink neon signs. Yeah.
And the whole thing is like, there were only two genres. There was like rock, pop, soul.
Yeah.
Which is huge. Yeah.
Those were the days back, right?
Back when we only had two types of music.
Classical. You know? No, seriously, it's rock, pop, soul, and classical. Like, that's it. Those are the two sections of the store.
That was funny.
And it's like, well, what about jazz? Oh, yeah, that's sort of like soul. So that's in rock, pop, soul. Yeah. You know, like, that's it. But, like, in a weird way, like, it kind of, that made sense to me. Now you've got 150 genres and none of them are accurate. And like, you know what I mean? At least
Do you think that's a result of commercialization of people who sell the stuff, realizing that niches are good?
Well, when I was in a band, I didn't, you know, people were like, are you guys, you know, rock or alternative? And I'd be like, you know.
You guys were disco.
We're pop music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, because,
well, we're trying to be popular anyway.
Because, because it was like, yeah, exactly. I mean, and like, I felt weird saying pop music, but it was like the only genre that wasn't pretentious. It wasn't like trying to be something specific. But then, like, now when I listen to it, I'm like, oh, that was blues. Like, what was I?
Yeah,
what was I? But you know,
I think this is a big legacy of a, you know, an era in history, an era in musical and commercial history when most music was dominated by a couple labels. They could categorize it, and they sold records by putting singles on a specific Billboard chart.
Right.
Nowadays, you have so many, many more independent labels, many more people with making music on their own through the internet, their own distribution, and that type of marketing doesn't really work anymore. We're kind of at a transition point. Almost.
So the genres you think that exist today were just are all from the record labels and their way of selling.
Well, I mean,
something to the public and saying these five bands are alike. We'll call this blues.
I think if you look back at the early days of rock and roll, a lot of the early rock and roll records were sold on like, you know, R&B charts or sold on
gospel
country charts or gospel charts. Right, but there was no chart for like rock and roll or pop music in the same way as we would understand it today. And it was that, you know, there you have a kind of disconnect between the classification that existed and the type of music that was being made, which was very cross, you know, it was blending, you know, R&B, blues music, rockabilly, country, gospel, all this type of stuff blending in. And you have that same thing today with indie music, blending a lot of different influences.
Yeah, when Dan and I were at Gogo Bordello the other night, we were like, you were there too.
Gypsy punk.
What genre? Yeah, they call it Ukrainian gypsy punk. Like, they made a new genre because it was just, but that's the whole thing, is like, they just, they're saying fuck you to the whole genre thing, right? It's not New York punk. Yeah. It's not Ukrainian, like, you know, local, like, folk music. It's like a big mashup of like 10 different things, and they're just playing whatever the fuck they want.
It kind of makes sense from a marketing perspective, doesn't it? Because if you say, oh yeah, we're Ukrainian gypsy punk, and you do get big, of course, six other similar bands will grow up alongside you, and yeah, they're following the Ukrainian gypsy punk thing, but you're the founder of Ukrainian gypsy punk because you called it Ukrainian gypsy punk, and you were in it. And so there's a big thing to being to like basically creating your own niche.
Right.
I mean, why not? Why not go for the gold and bet big, you know, and say, okay, our music's different. But every
band,
our own niche.
And every band wants to do that. Every band wants to blaze that trail.
Yeah. And every band, though, it's about right place, right time, right sound, you know, to get them. And so why not have your own genre when that happens? Because then it just makes you even more of a leader in the field, doesn't it?
It's the same thing as evolution. You end up being a lizard on an island by yourself. After a while, you're going to be very different from the lizard that left you there that's back on the homeland. And then you're a new species. So where does that species fit in the old genres?
Right.
In my pants. But where's the new species fit?
In your pants.
That's what I thought.
In your pants.
It's not one of those lizards.
That's a one-eyed trouser snake. Those are that's common to my pants.
Sidon made a dirty joke.
Yeah. Anywho.
How about some country?
Yes, I brought some
please.
Country. Well, why don't you love me like you used to do? How come you treat me like a worn-out shoe? My hair's still curly and my eyes are still blue. Why don't you love me like you used to do? Ain't had no loving like a hugging and a kissing in a long, long while. We don't get nearer, further, closer than a country mile. Why don't you spark me like you used to do? And say sweet nothings like you used to coo. I'm the same old trouble that you've always been through. So why don't you love me like you used to do? Many faults with me. Somebody's changed, so let me give you a clue. Why don't you love me like you used to do? Ain't had no loving like a hugging and a kissing in a long, long while. We don't get nearer, further, closer than a country mile. Why don't you say the things you used to say? What makes you treat me like a piece of clay? My hair's still curly and my eyes are still blue. Why don't you love me like you used to do?
That's a great collection of things, though. Breast, teeth, nipples, and feathers.
That'd be a good rock album.
Yeah. No, that's the Stones' next album, I'm sure. Breast, teeth, nipples, and feathers.
Yeah.
Little did they know.
Shine a light, I can't see so good.
Oh, man. That movie, I was reading the reviews about that flick. It got panned.
Oh, really?
I mean, I guess the reviews are actually mixed, but from my favorite reviewers, they all panned it. They said it was just... like what it was just complete egocentric, you know, claptrap. But whatever, I'm sure it was still a good performance.
They're like, Scorsese, like,
if Scorsese ever comes to film a show I put on, it's definitely an ego project.
Yeah,
for both of us. It's just inevitable.
Wait, who chose Hank?
That was me.
That was Dan.
He was free for download the other day, and how can you pass up old Hank Sr.?
Why don't you love me?
Excellent. Oh, man, he was so good. My dad used to... to listen to Hank Sr. on long road trips
across
the United States.
I wish my dad was that cool.
Yeah.
The coolest my dad got was Barry Manilow and Neil Diamond.
That was my mom's style.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, check it out, Copacabana. It's a catchy tune, Mitch.
Like, have you guys ever heard any Hank Williams III, though? The grandson?
Negative.
It's fucking great. Pardon my French. Yeah. He's really good. Hank Williams the second.
Junior.
Sucks. No, no. Hank Williams Jr. Yeah. Sucks balls. It's funny. It skipped a generation. But Hank Williams III does this great crossover between rock and roll and country. And he does some country, he does some rock, and it's heavy rock when he does the rock. And it is really good. I really recommend you go.
He's not sticking true to the marketing genres.
He's not sticking true to the senior, no. But
he's
totally floating
he's
in between.
He's a new species.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's never really
he's
taken
evolved.
Off.
If you put like a fast 4-count drum underneath Hank Williams Sr., you got rock and roll, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing.
No, and the topics are so similar, and it all fits right in. But was his album, it's like Lovesick, Broken, Drifting or something. Really classic title, but it's really
nipples,
well
teeth,
worth checking
feathers,
out.
Beak. What was
yeah.
it?
Yeah, Fish Traveler Matthews Band.
Yeah. sorry. That's
okay.
Funny.
Derailed things a little bit. Yeah. I brought another country song. I don't know if we want to follow along with.
Yeah, let's do
country.
It.
I enjoyed that.
I want to get working on that. This is our Sunday podcast roast.
Roastcast. As you termed it.
Yeah. So I got to get back over to the pork and figure it out. So let's play some more music.
Is this Latch or Lock?
Sure. Lock.
Lock. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Well, in a car, yeah, with clothesline, farms and road signs, just whipping by. Across Alabama creeks, across Montanic skies. Jimmy Rogers, honeycombing across the dash, you're lapping our ears along with Johnny Cash. You'll fall a dreaming, your window wide open, letting in the moonlight and pieces of heaven. And the smiling, handshaking night, I wanna be with you, I wanna be with you. Scared and shaken like little league choirs, across from families at holiday dinners, lifting small children up onto our shoulders, being told secrets by sisters and brothers, escaping to the patio for camels and Kents, while gazing up at celestial merriment, blankets of stars singing, how do you do?
That was a good track, man.
I like that.
Very good.
Yeah.
Lach. It was something. It was something.
And they're not. It's not Swedish country.
Not as far as I know.
Scottish country.
Sorry. Not as far as I know. Well, we don't even know.
It had a little bit of a Bob Dylan twang to it, actually, in some ways.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It was just another one of those random came across it on Hype Machine tracks. It's where I come across everything. I'm totally lazy about it all these days.
So you actually go on Hype Machine and just like look for stuff?
No, it's the RSS feed. Every day it sends me like 20 to 30 tracks. You can download any of them.
Like the main one?
Yeah.
So that's like you mean just like the homepage RSS feed?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
because you can get a feed for whatever search you do on it.
Well, that's the thing is that the feed seems oddly catered to me, and I don't remember if I ever told it to feed me certain things, but somehow it makes great sense.
You maybe gave it some facts about yourself.
Yeah,
like,
maybe I told you about when I stopped wetting the bed and, you know, like
6'2", strapping.
Yeah. 6'3".
Yeah, 6'3". Pretty cut.
Yeah, so, you know, it sends me a lot of Ace of Base, which I'm totally down with, but it's like, God, how can you read my mind so well?
I mean, that site's great. That's where I get most of the stuff for the show. I Raconteurs was Hype Machine.
Oh, man, it didn't give me that. It's loving you more than it's loving me, I think.
Well, I looked for Raconteurs on Hype Machine. So I think of a band, and then I look for it on Hype Machine, and then I get it for the show.
But how do you then download it for free off Hype Machine?
I link over to the blog.
Oh, okay.
Because each individual article
is usually tied to a blog.
Basically,
and then you have to find it, but you can't always get it through the blog, can you?
Not always, but...
Not always, yeah.
Like,
whereas all the ones on the RSS, you can...
Maybe. That's, I don't know.
I can
the
always...
whole thing is I think they were in legal trouble if they were actually giving out everything, if they were just passing on everything that every blog was doing.
It's so funny. It's like, you can buy it here, or just go over here and get it for free.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a funny one.
Yeah.
Aggregator. Mm, the greatest aggregator word in the
I don't
modern
even know
world.
Her.
Communitizing?
Jesus, bitch.
Yeah. Well, it's smelling pretty good. I'm getting kind of...
it's time for the roast bork.
Yeah, but we do have a few more tracks here. We got some listener submissions this week. And then, Dan, you gave us one more from a band called Sleepy Time Gorilla Museum.
Oh, yeah.
What's the deal with that?
It's a sleeper hit. it's kind of mathy, kind of fun, and it's the kind of thing that really floats my boat. So, I just thought it'd be a nice one to end on.
We're not ending on it.
We're not? Oh,
no.
Good.
We have a couple of listener submissions. We have four more tracks.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So.
How dare you?
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Oh. What?
What specific gravity are you speaking of?
Gray area, really, in between them.
Ambugaton.
Science
ambugaton.
And cooking are really two aspects of the same activity, aren't they? You know,
they
aren't
could
they?
Be, yes. A recipe.
It's about, you know, taking specific measures of specific things, combining them in a way, and hoping it doesn't blow up in your face.
That's actually. And also, it's delicious.
And also, it's delicious, like most science experiments.
Yes.
Very delicious.
So it looks
and
like
so,
the number one export of Sweden, to take it back to our previous conversation,
yeah.
is pharmaceutical preparations.
Yeah, medicinal, dental, and pharmaceutical preparations. So, in fact, when I said that the number one export of Sweden was ABBA,
ABBA.
I was
wrong?
Exaggerating.
ABBA's the number three export.
Telecommunications equipment. No, I think I'm still very, very wrong.
600 million Swedish kronor.
Anyways, sorry about that. I misled people. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of the King Midas. My God, man. That's a lot of mobile phones. I heard that all these guys like Nokia and all of them are now switching to content, and they're no longer going to sell phones because the market's totally saturated. Like, you can't grow anymore as a mobile phone maker. There's too many mobile phones on the market. There's no point. And so they're going to now start doing content like HBO or something. I don't know. Like, what? It's kind of a...
That's interesting.
It's going to be weird if one of these companies just now becomes a massive heavy hitter about content. What content for what? Content for your crap candy bar mobile phone? Like... What kind of content can you deliver on that?
But that's an interesting question. I mean, is there just content, or does it just mean the mechanism by which you take what people are into and put it on the web? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, isn't
content just culture?
This is the debate between, you know, a company like Nokia, which may want to do proprietary content, and other companies that are all going to be completely open source, allow lots of user input, create the technology in such a way that anybody can access and publish anything to anybody's cell phone anywhere in the world.
Yeah, but
which makes me question the viability of this you know, particular scheme.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen that thing called it's called Epic or Google's on?
It sounds dangerous, though. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Look, yeah, exactly.
Sounds like I started the company.
Look up the keywords in some, you know, in like one of, you know, in your favorite, on your favorite video site, look up Google's on or Epic or maybe both, and you'll get this really interesting, you know, pre MySpace view of the future of the internet, where it was just after Friendster had come out, and it was a view of 2010 at like 2004 or whatever, and
the robots had already taken over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And they're basically saying there's no formal news institutions, and you know, basically it was the news wars of 20, you know, the news wars of 2010, where Google and Microsoft went head to head, and they had all formed these sort of news bot aggregator search engine like tools that were bringing news to people. And then, I don't know, it's this totally futuristic view, but the whole thing is that the view at the end is that for the elite and for the people that actually knew how to use the services, they were getting better news. It was more contextually relevant and deeper and more nuanced than ever before. But for too many, it just became a junk mail service.
But to me, all these things are after the problem has started, which is that people aren't getting a good education. I think for people to demand objective information about things, they need to have learned to critically analyze things. And if you're not taught that you... whether a source, so part of critical thinking is knowing whether you trust the source.
Sure.
And so in order to have people that will demand, you know, a good
source. They've got to have that as part of their education, and I think that's where the States is in trouble. I don't think the education is
priority. I think the thinking is that the number of I disagree with this idea, but I think the sort of growing philosophy is that the number of sort of trustworthy sources versus like not so trustworthy sources will balance each other out, because even the trustworthy sources aren't necessarily accurate and they're biased in ways in which they don't think that they are. And so if you're aggregating hundreds or thousands of sources, then that's the truth. Versus if you're just reading one newspaper, which is what you're doing now.
But I don't know that the truth is ever, I think the truth demand for the truth is what creates it. I think you have to have people that demand it. And if you have a populace that are happy with Fox News, you're going to have a populace that's happy with Fox News until the empire collapses. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. People are going to be into it. It's going to feed them what they want. The demand for it is going to create it. And there'll be a lot of people that wish there was objective news, and you know, but they'll just be the fringe.
Yeah. I guess I think I agree. You know, I hear what you're saying. I wasn't actually thinking about objectivity, really. And I don't necessarily think that people... Right. I think that that's actually an old school thought, objectivity. I think people have actually accepted the fact that news isn't objective, and that whatever you're getting is tainted with something or comes from an individual. But
The irony, going back to your prevision of the future, is that Microsoft, Google, and Yahoo are at this very moment battling for interstellar domination of the internet.
Well,
such
I think
as
everyone
it is.
Knows
so
that Yahoo
maybe by
lost
2010.
That one.
Who knows?
Yeah. That's true. Anyways, I think the reason I brought that up was because I think the closer we get to this sort of customized view where everyone's providing content and every individual is a news reporter and every, you know, that everybody, basically everybody can, you know, contribute to the knowledge that everybody gets about what's happening in the world,
whether it's worthwhile or not.
It's worthwhile or not, because I think for some people it can be this amazing resource, but that's going to be such a small segment, and that everybody else is just going to be loaded with crap.
And that was exactly my point. If there's no, I think the capitalism is going to work if you have a demand for that stuff, and if people won't demand it, then it might not be there. And I think I've talked about this, but Al Gore's book is great on this. Like the internet is the hope where you can go back to what the founding fathers of the US wanted, which is that you could have this free press where the best idea went to the top, regardless of whether it came from someone with political or monetary power.
Right.
So good ideas.
Because at the moment, political or monetary power is what determines your access to truth.
Right. And the dissemination of your ideas.
Right.
So Joe Schmo can have a great idea, put it on their blog, and maybe it'll get picked up.
Right.
That's new.
Right.
You know, when we had CNN and TV, you can download your ideas to bazillions of people.
And that might actually be more true.
If it's been, if it's been reviewed by everyone.
It can
If it
be.
Rose to the top because everyone likes it, hopefully it's passed some review process.
Well, that doesn't mean it's more true.
So sex will still sell in the future.
I think we can all agree on that one.
Quite well. In fact, better than ever.
Yeah.
We have one. Before we get into listener submissions, we got one more. This is from a band called Grizzly Bear. Another Dan track.
Animal theme.
Excellent. Oh, that's the band? Oh, got it.
No. Sleepy Time Gorilla Museum. Grizzly Bear.
Thank you. He hit me. I felt like a kiss. He hit me. And I knew I loved him. And when he died, he gave his arms with all the
You know, I recognize them looking at some of their images with the big raven's beaks. I didn't realize that that was them. I'd seen that image around a few times before. They've been around for a long time, haven't they?
Raven's beaks?
Well, yeah, they got, there's this image, this like, I think it's an album cover, like a promotional image they have of them wearing these masks with these bird beaks.
Oh, like Italian, Venetian
style masks. This right here.
Oh, yeah.
The kind of masks that I fantasize about Natalie Portman wearing a lot.
Can't go wrong.
Oops, wish I hadn't said that.
That's a good point.
Good point, Ren.
Wait, Ren thinks she's hot too.
she is. I mean, she's Natalie Portman's.
She's the best.
She's special.
New Jersey has ever produced.
Really, Jersey?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
That was just a movie.
Yeah, that was just a movie.
you just picked a state there, didn't you, Spence?
Garden State?
My mind has never left.
I really like that soundtrack.
So that was Grizzly Bear. And cool. Before that was Sleepy Time Gorilla Museum out of Oakland, California. East Bay General.
Oaktown!
Yeah, represent.
I love the beast. Oaksterdam.
So we've got a few comments and submissions this week. Let me read through some of them. We got Adam. He says, "Hey guys, just listened to the new podcast and totally dug it, especially that Scott Matthews song, Unreal. A note on the festival discussion. Come to Canada. There's a great new festival kicking off this year in BC, the Pemberton Festival. The lineup mix acts like Coldplay, Jay-Z, Interpol, Vampire Weekend, and Mates of the State." Do you guys know Mates of the State? That's the only one I didn't recognize.
Oh, yeah. No, Mates of State are good.
Oh, yeah. Or Mates of State, sorry.
Yeah.
With some great Canadian acts like Kathleen Edwards. Check it out. And then we got... we already talked about the Swede living in Hawaii, didn't we? Oh, no, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
We have a Swede living in Hawaii says, and that's
they're taking
his
over
or
the
her
world.
Name. I think I wrote in a time before saying that it's nice sitting in Hawaii and being able to hear some good new music instead of just listening to reggae, and that they are playing on the island all the time. even though we play some reggae sometimes, sir, you know. Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack.
We're going to paint the White House black.
Is that what it says? Oh, I didn't hear that
song
part.
Is instant classic.
No, wait.
I really like that.
Who was it? What politician said that same thing but was then accused of making a horrifically racist comment for saying so because he's a white man saying that? Who was it? It was some Republican or senator. Anyway, he made in a fundraising speech, he said, I guess they're not going to be able to call it the White House anymore. And apparently the whole audience went quiet. And it was supposed to be his opening joke to his speech.
Oh. What was he thinking?
Yeah, exactly. No, what the hell was
where was this? That? Exactly, who was his audience?
Yeah.
Record needle.
That seemed like a good idea.
Yeah. But Barack and said.
But it works in a reggae song.
Yeah, I mean, it's the context, right?
Definitely.
A white guy up on a podium in front of a bunch of other white people saying that probably doesn't go over too
you
well.
You know, no one dug the John LaHoy song, High as Fuck. That was a really good song.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great. Like, yeah.
One of the best parody songs I've heard in a long time.
Well, so this Swede living in Hawaii sent us a track called an electro act called No Hay Banda. And they've got a track called New Love, which we'll play in a bit. And then I guess we did play Martin's track already. And then Micah Sherrill also wrote in, "Hey, Noters, show is always fantastic. One request in vain, I know, the Dork Report. Oh. I miss Lee's Dork Report. I know those days are over, but I thought I would whine briefly about it." I think we could.
Mitch.
I don't know why we don't.
Wait, what is
ask
the Dork
for it.
Have
report.
You heard from Lee recently?
Oh, you don't know the Dork Report? Yeah, yeah. I've been getting emails from him.
Okay. He cropped up on my email system. He wanted to add me as a connection on LinkedIn.
Oh, wow.
So now we're LinkedIn buddies. Mm. Professional, you know, relations.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So now you've got some friends in Powhatan.
Exactly. now I have a career opportunities in Powhatan.
Excellent, man.
Yeah.
John, you know where Powhatan is?
You're, no.
It's
in Virginia.
West Virginia?
It's in Virginia.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not far from my neck of the woods, is it?
So he wants the Dork Report, and he says...
I do, too.
He says he knows those days are over, which we could probably get him back on. The problem is it's really hard because we're
crunch.
The time difference, but what we might be able to do is get Lee. Lee, if you're out there listening, maybe you can just do a Dork Report, and then we can play it as like a pre-recorded or something.
That'd be too cool.
It has to
come as a packaged thing with a bow on it. This time difference makes it too tough.
Yeah, yeah. Micah says, "I love that Dvachka song. I heard it in a film recently. Maybe Little Miss Sunshine." Actually, there is a Dvachka song in Little Miss Sunshine, but it's not the one we played. That's good. Let's see. Who else? We have Haas. Haas says, "What's happening? Just got to say, love the show. Started listening somewhere around 34.
Hey, old
nice.
Time.
Old school. So I got to say, I'm going to Coachella, and I feel very unprepared. I know very few of the bands this time around, and it's kind of bumming me out. The bands I do know are mostly electro dance, and I love that kind of music, like Justice, Oofy, Data Rock.
Really good. We played them on the show.
And I'll probably rock out to that stuff when I see them, but I most like to relax, you know? My high-priced cup of chillax.
We should maybe do like a Coachella
preview.
Yeah, preview.
See if we can pick the best of the best.
Yeah,
good, man.
Yeah,
definitely. And then compare it to those that attended, their opinions. That'd be really good.
Cool.
Maybe the next show.
Yeah,
if we can put in a little bit of time.
Yeah, that would be good.
Great idea.
Maybe we can do a little something something.
We're gonna need to thieve. We're gonna need to lay low and steal off the internet, because I imagine a lot of it won't be available for free. We're going to have to get those crazy programs that let you just strip songs off of streaming.
I'm telling you,
shit.
It's called Hype Machine.
No, Hype Machine isn't.
It's Total Recorder.
Yeah, that's what it is. I need to get hooked in with that.
Audio Hijack.
Yeah?
For the Mac users out there.
Oh, perfect. Audio Hijack.
Cool. Well, so we got No Hay Banda from the Swede in Hawaii. And then we've got
Tough Life.
Tyler Ramsey from Micah. Micah sent in a band.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to do first No Hay Banda and then Tyler Ramsey. And we're going to get ourselves into some Sunday roast, I think.
In a proper English style.
Proper, very proper.
That sounds fantastic.
Toot, toot, ding, dong.
Really nice.
Really nice.
Yeah.
It's raining. Hell.
And it's raining.
A lot.
And it's cold.
Just totally wait 20 minutes.
It's cold and raining in April.
God, I miss San Francisco.
Well, what can you do? Good night, everyone.
Cause by